And welcome back. Jonathan Kraft, president of the Patriots, joining us here down on the field as the Patriots get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. Jonathan, how are you?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks. Week three, how you feeling?
I tell you, it feels like fall, which isn't good. It feels a little cool tonight, but other than that, doing great. Week three is the week.
Yes, this is the week. So you're expecting to see the guys out there, at least for a little bit anyway.
No, we'll see the guys, and I think it'll be a nice preview of what we hope to see on the field in Miami. Maybe a couple of the guys that aren't dressing tonight will be dressed for then, but I think it's going to be it should be a fun and interesting evening. I think on both sides of the ball, we're going to get to see some stuff we didn't see the first 2 weeks, and that'll be fun.
You had a lot of changes on this team, especially on the defensive side of the football. Brought in some names. You've had to make some adjustments offensively. Devlin's going to have a larger role, obviously, at fullback. You know, Gronk's really the only tight end at this point in time. How do you feel so far about this team? And obviously, it's preseason, but it's a different type of team than the Patriots have had over the past couple of years, I think, anyways.
I haven't thought about it in those terms, but I think you're right that in terms of identity shift and getting back to focused on something new, this sort of feels like the year where both sides of the ball have been in a little bit of transition over the last couple of years, and you feel right now that that there is a group of people that you hope you'll be working with for the next few years that'll build their own identity. And clearly on defense, in addition to adding guys like Revis and Browner, you got Chandler and Dante and Jamie and of course Devin, and Rob Ninkovich, who are going to be the nucleus of this team going forward on that side of the ball. And I know we're all excited to see them out on the field here tonight. And when the season starts, hopefully get to see Dominique. And on the offensive side of the ball, you feel like the receivers we brought in last year, and I know Aaron hasn't been on the field, but Kembrell and Danny and Julian and Aaron, and we've added Brandon LaFell. It feels like it's going to be exciting and fun to watch, and that it will be a really different team on both sides of the ball than it was 24 months ago. More of a shift than we've had here historically in that period of time.
Speaking of a shift, are we ready for 30 penalties tonight? Because Lord
Maybe
knows,
28.
Oh my goodness gracious! What do you make of what has gone on here in the preseason of flags? I think there's a necessary adjustment going on, but I also understand why people are a little alarmed, because it's gone almost from one extreme to the other in terms of the minds of a lot of fans.
Look, hopefully when the season starts, the point will have been made and it'll level out in the understanding, and guys will get back to playing. But that's what the preseason is for, learning and teaching and evolving, and I think that's part of it. But clearly, if we got into the season and the level of flags are where we've seen them in the preseason, it'll be something that we'd have to look at, because it's not good for the flow of the game. But I think for the preseason, it is the right thing, and hopefully the right result comes of it.
You're an old-school football guy because you grew up, your family had season tickets on the old benches without the backs.
71.
That's right. So you're an old-school guy. You're a Grogan guy, a Hanna guy, a Tippett guy. Listen to me. Sounded like an old bastard back when men were men.
Well, you are.
Are you concerned about the focus on offense as far as the rules?
I love great defensive football, but I'm not worried about the focus, because I think the focus isn't so much about offense as it is trying to evolve the game for the speed and the athleticism of today, and also the things that have been learned about certain plays that used to actually be taught that are no longer probably the right thing for moving forward. And I think you still see great defense in this league. Last year, look at the team that won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
It was a physical, tough defensive team that absolutely dominated a record-breaking offense, an offense that broke our records. And they took the game over in the first minute in the Super Bowl and never looked back. And I think both sides of the ball are important, and both sides of the ball need to evolve in the styles of play, and the league looks at both. And I'm personally not worried about the game becoming too offensive.
I know that for a lot of fans, Jimmy Mania is starting to run wild. But once the regular season starts, everyone will remember, at least here, where the bread is buttered, and it's TB12. But when I look at what's going on in Cleveland, like, they're going to stink the first 3 weeks in my mind anyway. And there's the business versus the football end, and you've got Haslam in there, who is a relatively new owner, and we know that, and you've talked openly about the mistakes the new owners can make, where they maybe meddle too much or it becomes too much about the business end. I don't even know if empathize is the right word. Can you kind of understand what they're going through in Cleveland? Because there's the guy who's going to put asses in the seats, and then there's the guy who might actually win them games out of the chute if they're lucky.
Ryan Hoyer, just before I answer, we're going to have a quarterback here tonight. I just watched Newton. He is so big and so athletic. Please, tonight, you're watching this game. That guy is just he really is.
There's a Magic Johnson feel to him in terms of the size of the position and the way he can light up a room with a smile.
I think it's a great analogy, and the size and the athleticism is incredible. I think as relates to Cleveland, first of all, Brian Hoyer was here for 3-4 years, whatever it was. Great guy. So happy for him and the opportunity he's getting. I think in the case of Haslam, he took over a franchise that really, ever since they moved back to Cleveland, it's an amazing fan base that they haven't had anything to be very excited about. And you're a new owner and you come into it and you want to create that spark and excitement while you're doing everything. And I think there's always that natural tension. But if you're running a team like that, whether you're the owner, the GM, the head coach, ultimately the decisions that you make have to be football decisions, have to be well-thought-out football decisions, because at the end of the day, you're moving down a path to trying to build a football team over the course of, if you're starting from a team that hasn't had much success over a couple of seasons, if you're close, trying to put the pieces together for a championship season. And the minute that you really start making decisions based on business, you're probably setting your football team back. And I'm sure, I have no idea what they really talked about, but I'm sure one of the things that they talked about in that room from a business perspective, not just a football perspective, is that if you put somebody on the field before they're ready to be on it, somebody that might have a huge upside, but you put them out there and they start to question themselves and not do well, you might damage an asset permanently that if it had a year or two to be groomed, would be in a stronger position, forgetting for a minute that you might have in the veteran guy, a guy that actually is the better quarterback of the moment, but might not excite a fan base. And I don't know enough about the Cleveland situation to touch on that one, but I do think you always, at the end of the day, have to come back to making the decision that's right from the football side.
And also, Jonathan, when you make that decision, and correct me if I'm wrong, let's go back to when Bill made the change with Drew and Tom. When Drew was healthy, didn't Bill say, Drew, you're the backup, Tom's the guy? Didn't he communicate that immediately? So there was a decision made. So my point is like with a Manziel, if you're going to put him in, when you put him in, he better be in for good. You can't do the yin and the yang, right?
Not very much. You really can't.
And Bill, look, Bill, when he did that, was not the Bill Belichick that people think of today. Everyone thought of him as a brilliant defensive mind, but wasn't yet considered to be, in my opinion, the best head coach in the game.
Right there with
ever.
Lombardi.
Right there with Lombardi. I believe he has achieved that. You look at what he's consistently been able to do, but he wasn't thought of that way, and yet he did approach the situation decisively, to your point, Gary. He understands, and I think one of the things for him at the time was, how do I look at my locker room and not keep playing the guy who has had this type of success? And it was no disrespect to Drew, it was just, this is what I feel I need to do to have the best chance of winning and do it, what's right for my football team and have credibility. And he was totally decisive. And I can tell you that having been with him privately during that period of time, he knew that it had to be a decisive thing, and that's the way he treated it.
Yeah, I think if you're going to make that move, that's what you have to do. The roster, the moving from 8 to 10 of the practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah. So the league changed the rule this week for the 14 and 15 season. And the practice squad is we come out of training camp and you no longer have two-a-days, and you get into the season and you have less and less real practices. It's harder and harder to develop young players. And so I think since 2000 and I want to say 3 or 4, the practice squad has been at 8 guys. And so we did a couple things this week. Practice squads for the next 2 years were allowed to go from 8 to 10. And in addition to that, whereas in the past, once a player had achieved more than one accrued season in the NFL, been on the active roster for more than 8 games, he had lost his eligibility. Now you can make 2 of those 10 slots guys who have actually had 2 accrued seasons in the league. And the final change is you can actually now spend 3 years on a practice squad, meaning 6 or more weeks of the season on the practice squad. So really liberalizing the rules with the idea that more and more young players will get a chance to develop. A lot of what had happened in the past is a player had been on the practice squad for a year, only 3 games, got called up to the big squad, played 9 games, and now no longer had practice squad eligibility, but he came up because of injuries, was still young, still raw. He got cut the next year by a team. You either have to put him on an active roster or he's not in the NFL, and we think that we thought, or the competition committee thinks that needs to be dealt with, and that's why that rule was changed.
Tell us about the NFL Now.
We launched this past week something called NFL Now, which the idea behind it is if you want to consume NFL media, there's almost too much of it that gets generated on a daily basis. All 32 teams are creating content. You don't want to have to own each of their mobile apps. You don't want to go to their websites. You don't want to have to watch the NFL Network or go to NFL.com or have the NFL app itself. And so we've created a product called NFL Now, which is available on essentially any type of mobile device. It's available on Xbox. It's available on Apple TV, Roku. And you download it. You give a profile of what you're interested in, what type of content, hard news, who's on your fantasy team, the teams you like, the division you care most about. So if you're a Patriot fan, the AFC East. And it will aggregate all the content that gets created at NFL sources every day. And when you log on, just feed you a stream of content that you'd be most interested in from the NFL. And it launched a couple weeks ago, and it's really had unbelievable traction so far. And it'll be an exciting new piece of the NFL media landscape.
All right, Jonathan, we're getting ready for kickoff for the game of the preseason against Carolina. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you again
thank
next
you
week
guys.
When we put a wraps on this preseason.
Take care.
All right, Jonathan Kraft, president of the New England Patriots, joining us on the field just before the Patriots and the Carolina Panthers.